So I think I've been cursed. It's been made apparent to me as I make the daily commute from Bloomsburg to West Milton every day for the past 3 months. Because it seems like no matter how hard I try, and it seems like no matter how much thought I give to it beforehand, I cannot pick the correct lane heading through the construction in Danville on I-80 right now. Literally every time, it seems I get stuck behind either the tractor trailer or the guy from New York who wants to slow down to 40 in the 55 zone heading through the orange cones. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been through it? It has finally relented because thank God the Bloomsburg Fair is here to make sure the construction was done and clear up the traffic. But for the past, I don't know, half dozen times now, it seems that I've been particularly cursed in this endeavor. Because I've picked the left lane, thinking that maybe, just maybe, this time I won't get stuck behind a truck. And with all premeditated thought, with all due diligence, I make sure that there is nobody coming up behind me trying to do 70 through the 55 zone. I make sure that there are no construction vehicles ahead of me on that left lane. And so I ease my way over into that left side of the construction, only to be cut off when the line turns solid right before hitting Danville and slowing down once again to that 35, 40 mile an hour mark. I cannot get it right. And it is today then, church, that I therefore make this confession to you. There have been days, there have been drives in the past few weeks when I have been no better than our dear prophet Jonah this morning. There have been days where I have wanted nothing more than the perfect vantage point from the median of construction to see maybe just one blown tire on the way and to relish in my own personal sense of justice. So we come upon Jonah today at the very end of his prophetic journey. Here he is, sitting outside the great city of Nineveh, the capital of his Assyrian enemies. And to this point, Jonah has grudgingly done all that he was instructed to do by God, despite his numerous protests and passive-aggressive attempts to put God's mercy on hold. After his initial attempts to flee God's call to go to Nineveh, Jonah is spewed out of the great fish, and he trudges a third of the way into this metropolis city of Nineveh to offer his 8-word sermon to the people there. 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. It's a terse message that betrays Jonah's passive-aggressively lackluster performance. He does not want God's message to land among these people. Nevertheless, even as he heads out of the city in hopeful anticipation of watching its ultimate destruction, his message to the Ninevites takes root, and they turn from their ways as their king leads the entire population in a period of repentance before God. Finally, much to Jonah's chagrin, God relents and changes God's mind, deciding not to destroy the city. Thus it is that Jonah is left feeling a heightened sense of the angst that I have felt heading east on I-80 every day this summer. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? Here we have one of God's prophets at the end of a successful mission of turning a group of lost people to God. And he's totally angry about it. Jonah apparently is offended that God would show such mercy to Jonah's very real enemies. After all, these were the people Jonah would never have thought God would be interested in. It's not fair that they, the unruly and violent enemy that ransacked the tribe of Judah, would be offered the same span of mercy as him, the prophet who had for so long been actively at work to fulfill God's word. How could they possibly receive the same gift from the same God. Surely it would be better for him to die than to see such a day as this. And taking offense at God's mercy shown to the people of Nineveh, those newcomers to God's praise, Jonah finds himself squarely in the camp of the workers whom the landowner first brought into the vineyard in this morning's parable from Jesus. Looking around, seeing that those who have come to the labor so late in the day are receiving the same as what was promised to him, Jonah grumbles his discontent against this divine landowner. Jonah, it turns out, is the prototypical audience member that Jesus is addressing in his parable this morning. See, our text for this morning meets Jesus just as he is starting this parable about the landowner and the hiring of laborers throughout the day. What we miss, however, are the interactions and episodes that Jesus was having with individuals that led up to this telling of the parable. In the preceding chapter of Matthew, chapter 19, Jesus meets and speaks with a variety of individuals who help to set the stage for the unfolding of this parable before us. It starts once again with the Pharisees, who come to Jesus to lay a trap for him regarding the interpretation of the law again. Using the terms of their original religious service, they want to know Jesus' take on the letter of their divorce law. But Jesus turns the question on them. And he works to capture the spirit of that law, the spirit of maintaining relationships and continuity within a community. And not long after that encounter with the Pharisees, though, Jesus is met by a young man who comes to him asking what he must do in order to inherit eternal life. Jesus first tells him that he is to keep the commandments, which the young man joyfully responds that he has, in fact, done. But then Jesus tells him to go and sell his belongings. And the man leaves grieving because he had many possessions. And between these two episodes, between the Pharisees and the rich young man, there is sandwiched a third episode. And here, Jesus catches wind that the disciples were turning away the children who were seeking to meet Jesus. And he scolds the disciples for it. He tells them to let the children come to him, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of heaven belongs, Jesus says. Into this context, then, Jesus speaks his parable of the workers in the vineyard. To those who are like the Pharisees, like the rich young man, to those who are like Jonah, to those who have been hard at work in the labor of the day as they follow God's commandments and steward the kingdom, there remains work yet to be done. Yet their place in God's kingdom has been assured ahead of time. Yet at the same time, to those who are like the children, those who are like the Ninevites, to those who come to the labor late in the day, there is first given the same assurance that they too have an equal place in God's kingdom. See, Jesus' parable makes it clear that in the vineyard of God's kingdom, all will have a place. After all, Jesus doesn't say that the landowner hired workers because he needed to make sure all the work got done. Rather, he hired the laborers simply because he saw them standing idle. Out of the goodness and out of the abundance of the landowner's discretion and resources, he finds a place for those who are simply standing by, those who are waiting for something to happen. The kingdom of heaven is already set. The invitation that is extended by the owner is simply to come and to be a part of it. And for those of us who may feel idle, or for those of us who feel that we have been laboring through the day, the promise is the same. There is a place for you. It is a place in God's kingdom that finds value in you being there. And it is a place that draws you alongside all others whom God has called. So come to the vineyard. Come and meet the grace of the God who has found a place for you. Others may show up throughout the day. That does not cheapen what has been already offered. They come to the joyful work alongside those who are already there. Come and find in the work the grace of the God who has enough and more to spare. Amen.